eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water. We'll rise above the mist with a little peace and some harmony. We'll take the world together. We'll take them by the hand. 'Cause I got him for you.
Final hour. Beautiful, beautiful day here in the great state of South Carolina. Resto Pros of the Midlands presents our coverage of Gamecock baseball. They are on the air tonight at 6:45, 7 o'clock first pitch in the Queen City. If you've had problems, wind, hail, water, flood, fire, ugh, man, just nobody wants to deal with that. And nobody ever knows who to call, and they call, and they don't know if they can trust them. Problem solved. Gotcha. If you own a business, if you own a home, doesn't matter where it is, what it is, Resto Pros of the Midlands, they got your back. I promise you, they've got your back. They're Gamecock owned and operated, and they don't just like come in and clean it up and then, hey, have a nice day, good luck, as it all falls apart. You know, we know that your house just caught fire. Thanks for calling. Nah. They're going to help you through the insurance process. And that's a problem because a lot of people won't do that. They will. And I promise you, you're going to get your money's worth. There's no doubt about it. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com, presenting the final hour of our program, presenting our coverage of Gamecock baseball. Matt Anderson hosts the late night Gamecock show. It's on tonight at 9 o'clock. It'll be somewhere probably around the sixth or seventh inning of South Carolina baseball versus North Carolina. Remember, softball will play host to the Clemson Tigers tonight at 7 o'clock as well. So you got a bunch of stuff you can watch. You can have two TVs. You can watch both of that. You can have the radio on. You listen to Derek. You listen to Stuart. And then, of course, you can also pull up your phone, and you can watch Matt tonight as he probably is able to wrap up some of this stuff. Quickly on the game tonight in Charlotte, the Heels coming in at 26-6, 11-4 in the league. And the starting pitchers are Folger Bowes, a freshman lefty. How about that name? Folger Bowes, 3-1 with a 5.89 earned run average. That's good for Gavin Casas. He's been tearing the cover off the ball against lefties. Dylan Eskew will get it for Carolina not in the weekend rotation currently, but 2-2 with a 4.83 earned run average. He's getting the ball in a big time matchup. I would project to see Ty Good in his spot coming up this weekend alongside Matthew Becker. Just a hunch. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, JB, I was curious. Maybe you guys touched on who's going to play catcher tonight. Any idea?
Monty Lee.
Monty Bradford. I've known Monty a long time, and Monty doesn't use a catcher's mitt. He just catches it with his bare hands. So,
That's an intimidation factor that you were not afforded with some of these guys. Yeah.
He doesn't wear a mask or anything. He just catches the ball with his bare hand. Doesn't even wear a cup. He's got balls of steel. No. Probably Dalton Reeves.
Reeves. Yeah.
So, anyways, how are things in late night land?
Late night land's good. Moving the show to Tuesday, I got to go play some basketball last night. It's a lot of fun playing with business professionals. It's a different game than I'm used to. A lot of shots off the backboard, a lot of shots hitting the bottom of the rim, but I'm getting my cardio in, which is good for the longevity of the late night Gamecock show.
That's right. I got to get some cardio in today myself. All right, so we've had some pretty neat conversations around here about quarterbacks. Mike and I were texting each other yesterday, guys. I honestly cannot remember a time where there's more known and unknown when it comes to quarterbacks in the SEC. Think about this for a second. All right, so there's a College Football Report has their ranking of all 16 QBs in the league. By the way, they've got Lenore Sellers ranked 16th. But I've got a point to this. The top five, Beck, Ewers, Milroe, Dart, Cook. And I want to get some basketball with you, Matt. Don't worry, but I've been meaning to get to this. So you got Beck, Ewers, Milroe, Dart, Cook, 1-5. I mean, we've seen Wegman, okay? And they've got him at 6. After that, you've got Iamia Lava. Is that it, Phil? Come on.
From
Tennessee, the freshman.
We're going to call him Nico,
the quarterback from Tennessee. Yeah, Graham Mertz at 8. Now, we've seen Graham Mertz play. I know that, but you just don't know what Graham Mertz you get. Jackson Arnold at Oklahoma. Grant Nussmeier at LSU. Diego Pavia at Vandy. Brock Vandergriff at Kentucky. Peyton Thorne at Auburn. Taylen Green at Arkansas. Blake Shapen at Mississippi State. Lenore Sellers at 16. We honestly don't know anything about like 10 of those guys, if you think about it. We've seen some of them play. I get it. But none of them are proven quarterbacks in this league. They've had some good moments, had some bad moments. It's kind of wild.
Well, I think it's interesting because you have Nico, who is, you know, five-star Mr. Everything, you know, when he came out of high school, and then you have Lenore Sellers. And JC, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you've said this, that if the recruiting guys actually paid attention to Lenore Sellers and, you know, saw what he was capable of without, you know, committing to Syracuse early, getting injured, he was a five-star guy. It's just the fact that he didn't have five stars beside his name, which is why he's number 16. And I think a little bit of that, too, is maybe the supporting cast, which I don't necessarily agree that should be, when you're ranking quarterbacks, you know, supporting cast and how good they're going to be over the course of the season. But I think a lot of that's baked into it.
Yeah, I mean, and Sellers, you know, it's not like he played a whole lot last year. They didn't have a lot of opportunities to get him in. I get it. I don't expect this team, regardless of how good internally or not good internally people feel, to be picked that high. I think they'll be about 12th or 13th in a 16-team league now. Yeah, the hope is they, like the basketball team, they surprise some people. I mean, and I think there's that possibility there for sure. I think, you know, when you look at the schedule, there's no reason why this team can't go and compete at Kentucky and win the game. I think LSU, after digging into their personnel, they have to come to Columbia. If I were LSU, I'd be a little worried about that one. just because. Well,
what do we, that's kind of my point. Grant, what do we know about Grant Nussmeier?
He had a good
ball. I watched him when Jalen Daniels got hurt. He didn't impress me at all.
He's good. I mean, solid. He's a lot like the kid from Vandy, Swan, that ended up going there. I think that's why Swan went there, because he's probably got a chance to beat him out. Good, heady quarterback. But, man, when you lose Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers and your wideouts, and, yeah, they got the kid from Liberty from the portal that's pretty good. But, I mean, and then coming on the road, and then that defense has to come so far. I mean, that defense was not – their defense was the worst LSU defense in quite some time. And I love the coordinator hire, because that's the dude that was at Missouri last year, and he's really good. And he's an LSU guy. And I think they'll have bright days ahead, and I think they'll be better. How much better is the question? And how much of it last year was talent or guys that were hyped in recruiting that weren't developed properly or whatever, and can they fix that? So you look at that. I mean, you know, you look at it and you go, oh, my God, Kentucky and LSU back-to-back. Duh. But look who's on those teams, you know. So that's the thing there. But
the whole list is interesting to me. Like Diego Pavia, does anybody know where he played last year? He's a transfer.
New Mexico State.
New Mexico State.
He led them to the win. He's a good look. For Vanderbilt, they made a great decision. They hired his OC, and they hired Jerry Kill as a consultant, and they got the quarterback. So the New Mexico State Aggies are in Nashville now. They've arrived. But I think that offense at New Mexico State last year was designed to overcome talent deficiencies. That's kind of Jerry Kill's thing. Eat clock, overcome deficiencies, surprise you with quick runs, dual threat quarterback, all that. And, hey, if you're Vanderbilt, that's exactly what I would be trying, you know, because you're behind talent.
Right.
But you got that guy, the guy from Boise State that's at Arkansas, is a decent player.
Yep, Taylen Green. But Preston, we haven't seen Thorne. These guys play in the league, though. Same thing with the Norris, obviously.
Preston Thorne's coming back for Auburn. I was woefully unimpressed with him last year. I
think Peyton Thorne.
I mean, Preston Thorne's our guy, 107.5. Sorry, Preston, if you're listening.
Come on, Preston.
That's my dude. We had a nice discussion about Huey Lewis in the news this morning on that show. You know, so I don't know about him. You know, he's had moments at Auburn. He's had moments at Michigan State. Pretty inconsistent, especially for that. You know, they do have some weapons. You know, like you, Mississippi State got the guy they shanghaied from Baylor that's going to come. They have this guy ranked pretty high in the league over some dudes that are better, just because I think they believe Jeff Lebby's offense is going to chunk it all over the yard. Well, let me remind everybody, Jeff Lebby's offense, when they don't have a quarterback, look at Oklahoma a couple of years ago against Texas. Davis Bevel was their quarterback. He's at Carolina now. They got beat 40-0 against Texas. Texas shut them out. I think Texas defense gave up about 25, 30 points a game every other game. You know, so that's kind of playing a factor. You know, the Nico hype. I thought Nico had a good bowl game. I like him as a dual threat guy. I really think he's going to be good.
Talented kid.
You know, Vandergriff is getting a lot of run off the five stars he had out of high school. And he's a 6'5 guy that's more of a runner. And how is that going to fit into what Mark Stoops likes to do? I don't know. So there are a lot of unknowns, Jamie. You're right. But then there are some knowns. So it's interesting.
Well, you can't, after you get through, I don't want to take anything away from Connor Wegman or anything like that. But again, you've got five guys. Beck, Ewers, Milrow, Dart, Cook. They've proven their worth in this league. Jackson Arnold was a five-star quarterback at Oklahoma. He's never played in the SEC. Never played. He's thrown like 44 passes in his career. So now he's going to step into this league, and we'll see what you got. Vandergriff, I think, is the one that you circled, Matt. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Georgia doesn't recruit five-star quarterbacks for nothing. They can play. Like, if you're a five-star quarterback and you go to Georgia, you can play. But he obviously couldn't get on the field there. We've watched Kentucky year after year bring transfer quarterbacks in. And not that they go up there and stall out. I wouldn't say that. I mean, but Will Levis and Devin Leary sure did leave a lot to be desired, didn't they? So I'm just a little unsure as to how Matt, how Brock Vandegrift is just going to just waltz into Kroger Field and all of a sudden be the guy after these last two cats couldn't do it.
Well, it's interesting, especially with Georgia, because Georgia's kind of had, I don't want to say, you know, just a game plan quarterback. Hey, we're going to run the game plan. We're going to be conservative because their defense isn't so good. They kind of kill you with 1,000 paper cuts on the run game. But on the flip side of that, Kentucky does the same type of thing. It's not like we're going to see Kentucky come in here and try and score 45 points a game. Like, that's not their MO. So are they going to let the five-star be a five-star, or are they going to say, hey, you're a game manager, take the stuff that's there, hit the short passes, intermediate stuff, and keep the chains moving, and we're going to play Kentucky football? I think that's the biggest question that I have in Kentucky right now. And I think to your point, I mean, JC said it too, there's so many unknowns at the quarterback position that you get outside the top five and it's okay. Where's the cream going to rise to the top here? And, you know, to start Lenoris at 16, I don't think he'll be the worst quarterback in the SEC this year.
Well, no. I love it. I love it. I love that. Somebody bring Lamont Paris into the locker room. I love right. that. You know, I mean, embrace that. I mean, if you're Shane Beamer, and if there's more that surrounds this, I mean, we just got done talking about the fact that obviously the reports, at least staff reports at the Big Spur, are that the offensive line has not been playing well. I don't know. I have not heard much. The only thing I've heard is it's not as bad as it's kind of been made out to be, but I'll leave that for another day. So with all that said, though, different scenario from basketball to football. I understand it. But I mean, if you're Shane Beamer, why would the narrative be any different? You pull
nobody
that.
Nobody believes in you ever. They picked you last.
Yeah, they picked you last. Either they think we suck or they think you suck. All right, or they might be a mixture of both. Why should that line be any different for Lenoris Sellers? If all these lists are going to have him at 15 or 16 all the way home,
Beamer will play that. He plays the underdog well. I mean,
yeah,
that's one thing. Remember the speech before the Clemson game? There is zero respect for anything you guys have done outside of this locker room. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what happened. And he's right. I mean, but yeah, Bush Hamdan, comes from Boise State. He's now Kentucky's OC. Now, if they start running some stuff kind of like Missouri, because Missouri's OC this past year came from Boise, they start doing some stuff like that, it'll be good. This Bush Hamdan guy has not called plays. Unlike the guys from the NFL, Stoops has brought in there, and you know, Eddie Grand, this guy's young. I mean, he's kind of a novice, so only called plays for a couple of years. So we'll see kind of what happens. But, you know, yeah, I think it is interesting. Clint says he never saw five in Vandergriff's film. I didn't either. And I did. I was with you. I like Stockton a lot better as well. And I think Gunnar Stockton is going to be a good quarterback at Georgia eventually. So
he's got to be this is his fourth year. It's got to be his fourth year there, right?
He was class of 2021.
Okay. So yeah, it's his fourth year. So he's got 2 years left because they gave him the first year and then he redshirted, correct?
Yeah.
That's got to be right.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, I mean, you know, he's getting older, but you know, when you got Carson Beck and look, Carson was, if you ask most Georgia people because they signed Carson before they signed Vandergriff and Stockton, he was kind of a mid 4-star guy out of Jacksonville, which sometimes Jacksonville players, quarterbacks, especially if you're not Mac Jones, they don't always pan or Tim Tebow, who's technically Jacksonville. But this guy, you know, he just worked and worked and worked, mastered the offense, learned everything he could from Monken, and then Bobo. I mean, obviously, he's a guy after Bobo's heart because he knows where to go with the ball and how to read and good arm. I mean, just a really solid guy. So, and look, Mike, we had that discussion the other day where we kind of drafted our quarterbacks. Nobody drafted Carson Beck. I absolutely, if I were putting together a list with my name on it, with ranking the top guys 1 through 16, I'd have Carson number one. He deserves it. You know, he deserves to be number one. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that if I were picking a team, and thinking about upside and all that, what I wanted to do to win games, that I wouldn't pick someone else. But, you know, it is – you brought up a great point there, because it could be, JB, either feast or famine in this league this year overall with quarterbacks. I mean, you could look at like what if Graham Mertz and Brady Cook had surprisingly good years last year? What if they regress?
And they could.
Well, you talk about the offensive line of South Carolina. I mean, every team in the SEC is going to have some type of offensive line issue this season. It's the best defensive lines in the country. So it's going to be the quick processor that we talk about a lot and who can make the plays. And when the lights come on, it's 22 SEC players out there and 11 are on defense. It's going to get more and more difficult for these guys. And you got to see who shows up.
Here, how about this? Let's play a quick runaround game. I'll just make this up as we go. All right. It's hard to believe, better or worse. Better or worse, indifferent. It's hard to believe Carson Beck in the same system with Mike Bobo is going to get worse. So I would say he's going to be better. I think we'd all probably agree on that. I'll just answer for all of you. I would say Quinn Ewers is going to be better being back in the same system with Steve Sarkisian, right? Jalen Milroe is interesting, right? There's a new sheriff in town, but I think he'll be better. I personally like him better
a lot better. Dark horse Tyson,
right?
In that system compared to Tommy Rees' system, where you really had to slap Tommy Rees in the back of the head and say, "Run the quarterback," because at Notre Dame he was more of a sneaky runner of the quarterback. And it took him time to adjust. Yeah, I like Milroe and this thing they do at Washington, what they did with Penix, much better.
I'm with you. I think we'd all, Phil, Mad Dog, you agree with that? Mad Stash?
Yeah, same. Man. Right. Much better offensive Mad system. Stash.
Yeah. Hard to believe that Jackson Dart won't be better with another year in Lane Kiffin's system, right?
I think it's the same guy. I mean, he's the same.
Right, but he's not going to be any worse. There's no coaching change to consider, and we don't have any of that. All right, Brady Cook. Probably not going to be any worse. I mean, he's playing in –
They got a lot of people back on offense.
Yeah. And he's Luther still Burden. Playing with Eli. I mean, I
don't see him getting. Yeah. Well, their OC is the second year in that system. That nobody realized this, that Eli hired a play caller from Boise State. It's Kellen Moore's brother, Kip Moore.
Right.
And that was a big difference because Eli's
Kip Moore?
Is it Kip Moore?
Well, Kip Moore's a country music singer, but if it's, you know, it might be a different.
It's Kellen Moore's brother, Kibby Moore, maybe. Maybe his name's Kibby. It starts with a K. Can you look it up, Phil?
I'm on it.
Mad
best producer in the business.
Kip Moore. Kirby Kip Moore.
Kirby
Moore? Is it Kirby Moore?
I want to say Kip. I think Kip is correct, I believe. Hold on. I'm double checking now. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, they hired a Moore, and they got bad. They were much better because Eli's offense, if you're watching at NC State and at Missouri, a lot of short dunk, 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 dunk. Missouri was much more vertical at times, took a lot more shots this past year. I think that helped Brady Cook and Luther Burden and their entire offense. Now, what Missouri lost on defense, people aren't talking about. That defense was pretty filthy last year at times. That's going to be Missouri's thing to watch. But, all right, to go back to the topic, I don't see Brady Cook getting worse.
No. Okay. And you're right on Kirby, by the way. Kirby. Yeah.
It's Kirby Moore.
And I agree with that. Okay. Connor Wegman, A&M's Mike Elko's the new head coach. Guy's been inconsistent at best since he's been there. He's a good player. He's got potential. But he's nowhere. He's not in any safe category like this first five I just mentioned, right?
Interesting. They hired the OC from K-State, Colin Klein, who played
quarterback there. Yeah,
Their offense is for a quarterback like Wegman, kind of a dual threat guy. It's good. They're not going to be as many wow plays, but he's kind of a wow quarterback. So yeah, I think I'm up in the air on that.
We just don't know. Like we don't know. Yeah, like that's my point. Know. Like
he's not hurt a lot too.
No,
yeah, I was going to say he hasn't put together an entire season yet. So who knows?
And that's what I'm getting at. Like we don't know. Nico at Tennessee, don't know. Talented kid, not a shoe in to go up there and just be an all SEC guy. Graham Mertz, Don't know. We know what he's capable of. Well, could fall apart in a hurry.
With Nico, this offense, we talked to Tom Lugerbill about it earlier, the Heupel system, the air raid, whatever. He said, with this offense, the key to it is you have to be like a 68% completion percentage guy or better. Because if you're inaccurate, it bogs. It's a lot of three and outs quick, puts your defense in a bad position. Joe Milton last year was 64%. So he was, they didn't score as much as they once did, right? And had some bad games offensively. So that's the key to Nico is can he be, and he's 12 for 19 in the bowl game. Okay. Can he be accurate downfield, especially? Because I know he can run. I know he's got a good arm, but accuracy in his first year as a starter is the key there for me.
I'll be really interested to see if SEC defenses figure out Tennessee's offense because they've seen it a number of times now. There's some fresh faces. I don't think that offense is sustainable long term in college football, especially not in the SEC.
Fair enough. Well,
keep in mind he was at Missouri and they would run it up against bad teams and fail to score many times against good teams. So
yeah.
All right. Okay. But like again,
we don't know.
We don't know. We don't know with Jackson Arnold at Oklahoma. He's a talented kid. He was a 5-star quarterback. I get that.
And they also all five of offensive linemen. They have to replace five O linemen.
And they're walking into the FCC. Garrett Nussmeier.
What kills me about that is everybody's like, he'll be an up. He chased Dylan Gabriel off. Maybe so. But Dylan Gabriel, people talk about him being a Heisman candidate at Oregon now.
Right.
So I'm with you. I don't know that. I wouldn't just pencil. He's talented. I wouldn't just pencil him in, especially five new offensive line starters and the SEC. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Graham Mertz. Well, Graham Mertz completed 70% of his passes last year, but Ricky Pearsall is not walking through that door.
Right.
Well, Graham Mertz also had like 5 yards or like 4.8 yards per attempt or something. Like it was just dink and dunk the entire way down the field.
Yeah, that's what that's what Napier ball is all about, man. when he doesn't have a dual threat quarterback. Now Lagway, the 5-star from Texas, could come in there and play. But I think they're in such a tough situation. They're going to have to go with Mertz because you don't want to have a freshman that makes a bunch of mistakes. And if you do have a chance to win, cost you a chance. But then the question also becomes, if you're going to play conservative, you're not that good on defense. So what do you do? I mean, I would not want to be Billy Napier right now. He is in between a rock and a hard place.
I think you play both. Yeah. I think he plays both.
Do the Tebow Chris Leak situation?
I don't think it'll be run as effectively as that was, but I believe it'll look something similar to it, at least with opportunity.
Well, Spurrier, just every other play, go take a shot, man. Go ahead.
See what happens. And then the rest of them, same thing. We already mentioned the other ones: Pavia, Vandegrift, Peyton Thorn, Taylen Green at Arkansas, Blake Shapen at Mississippi State, and then Lenore Sellers. Again, we don't know, and that was kind of my point with this exercise. Is you can look at the top four or five, look at their situations. Four of them are with their same coaches. One of them is in a better system. All of them have been starters in this league, and it's easy to be comfortable with those guys being at the top. Once you get to Connor Wegman and down, with coaching changes, transfers, unproven talent that surrounds them, yada, 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 yada. There's not enough, evidence. Is that a word that we use here? I don't know. But there's not enough support or not enough information to support any of these guys being some breakout candidate at quarterback. One of them is going to be, or two of them, or three of them, whatever. Hopefully it's Lenore Sellers. I mean, this happens. They're going to emerge. It's not like they're going to have bad years. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we don't know. And so as you go into list season, I take all of it with a grain of salt, because how on planet Earth can some guy at College Football Report or anywhere else rank 16 quarterbacks when he hasn't seen like 8 of them play in the league? Can't do it. I mean, it's just –
Well, it's like these preseason college basketball polls that are coming out right now, the way too earlies. There's going to be early entrants. There's transfers. I mean, this is just an exercise in clicks is all it is.
Well, I basketball, I wouldn't even touch it right now with the transfer portal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even touch it.
Exactly. Matt, we got to let you run. We got Hale McGranahan standing by, and he had a doctor's appointment, so we're squeezing him in here. But we'll get you back later in the week. We need to get some basketball with you, but I certainly wanted to get to football as well and continue that conversation.
Sounds good.
9 o'clock tonight. 9 o'clock tonight. Yep. Late night Gamecock show, right?
Late night Gamecock show. Y'all tune in.
Thanks, man. There you go. Matt Anderson, late night Gamecock show. Hale McGranahan is due up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say. And so does the Barn Dough Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company. Gamecock. Owned and operated.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about, the heart issue that, ultimately why the Big Ten stopped, and originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of heart issue, potentially
is that myocarditis?
Myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Touchdown Brewer. Set up a screen and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown Brewer. His second of the day. Pitches it to Brewer. Turns the corner. Touchdown, number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey, folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right. You know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that, too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer. Ryan Brewer Fence, the website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina. And we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product and it can go on any type of food. It's not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Cardoso for three, banks it in! A miracle for the Gamecocks!
All right, it's 1:37 final segment. Hail McGranahan. He's late. We've been waiting on him for 2 hours and 37 minutes. That's all right. I'm just kidding, Hail. I'm just kidding. We knew that you weren't till 1:30. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Not a whole lot. How are you guys doing this afternoon? It's almost that morning. How are y'all this afternoon?
Oh, we're all living the dream. Hail, this is the dream. Can't you tell?
Yeah, it looks sort of like that in my imagination.
Thanks, man. Yeah,
same JV. I don't know if that was a part of my dream.
Well, so Phil had that kind of creepy stash thing going on. I figured I needed to balance it out.
All right, fair enough.
We have a certain allotment of facial hairs allowed on our StreamYard plan here, and we don't want to mess around with that.
Like got a quota or something? Yeah,
that's right.
That's crazy. Well, hey, Hale, I just probably ticked off half the fan base earlier. Everything positive we talk about with football, it seems that like there's a negative backlash, but it's probably not these guys on the show or 1,000 or we have a lot of listeners, so I'm sure the vast majority of them appreciate it. So tell us something positive going on with football right now.
We're gonna hammer you. We're gonna pepper you with the tough questions.
I'm gonna let you take center stage. Something. It's got to be something good going on, right?
Tell me something that makes you happy, Hale.
Tell me something.
It's National Unicorn Day, by the way.
Football related, not uniform related. I think the defense is going to be better than it was last year. I'll say that. I think that's probably a not so hot take, especially with the way things went kind of middle of the season last year. I think it'll be better. They had a better day than the offense did on Saturday, from what I understand. Whether that means the offense isn't going to be good or what, I don't know, but I think that's pretty typical this time of year, regardless of where you are or what team it is or what your status is at quarterback. or any other position on that side of the ball.
What'd you learn about the quarterbacks in the scrimmage on Saturday?
I wasn't able to make it in for the press conference with Shane, but just listening to what he had to say, he spoke specifically about two guys more than the rest of them. And Dante Reno was one of them, and Robbie Ashford was one of them. I don't know if there's anything to read in that way, one way or the other, but I did find it interesting that Shane kind of made a point to highlight some of the good things those guys did on Saturday or have been doing recently during spring practice.
What are you hearing about Robbie Ashford?
Well, apparently he made some plays with his legs during the scrimmage. They allowed the quarterbacks to be live to tackling for, I think, about a third of it is what Beamer said. So apparently Robbie got out on the edge and made a nice run, which I think we've probably seen out of him at the college level. So there was that. Beyond that, I certainly didn't see it. I was not there, so I don't have much to base that off of other than what Beamer said. And I didn't hear anything specifically about Robbie Ashford coming out of the scrimmage, good, bad, or otherwise. His name didn't come up in a little bit that I heard, but apparently he had a nice run during the scrimmage.
All right, so the offensive line, Tony put out a report yesterday stating that they hadn't been playing well and that a lot of them are out of shape. What have you heard?
I don't know. You're going to have to ask Tony about that one. That's not...
No, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that question. I didn't mean to ask you. I'm just stating what Tony said. I'm not saying that is Tony right or wrong? I don't mean it like that. I'm just saying that's
what I haven't had anyone tell me whether they're in great shape or bad shape. I can't speak to
there you go. That. Yeah. Okay. All right. I want to clarify. I wouldn't pit you against somebody that you work with. I didn't mean it like that. How about the amount of playing time? Have you learned anything about that? That some of the young offensive linemen who've come into the program have received? Did they receive extensive playing time in the scrimmage, or do we know?
Don't know.
Okay, fair enough. On the outside, you've mentioned Gage Larvidane multiple times in the spring. He's a name that I don't know what today is. What is today? Tuesday? I think it might have been Sunday. His name was kind of whispered to me alongside Mazio Bennett, young guy, of course. Anything new on the receiver front from their performance over the weekend?
Yeah, I've heard some good things about Mazio. Beamer mentioned him specifically. I heard some stuff Saturday, coming out of Saturday, which I should have mentioned in the report that I had on the site on Sunday. But even before that, heard some good stuff about what Mazio had been doing in practice. He's one of those ultra-competitive guys who is he's like all football all the time, like a football guy throwing through, I think. So
yeah,
not surprised to hear that he's come in and turned some heads early on and shown that he belongs at this level. So I would think that he's certainly making a case for himself to have a spot in this rotation or perhaps even as a starter. At the very least, I think he's going to be playing
wow.
a pretty decent amount this season.
So does that say more for Bennett if he works his way into being considered a starter as a true freshman, or does it say more about him or less about the room in general?
Probably a little bit of both, honestly. There's certainly some question marks at the position with who's back on the roster and a bunch of new guys into the program, whether they're transfers or freshmen. So I think it probably says a little bit of both. I mean, I don't think it's a secret that South Carolina's got some things they need to figure out at that position for sure. But maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's more of a good thing than a bad thing that somebody like Mazio Bennett is going to come in and play. I mean, I don't want to be negative. I hope folks aren't reading into what I just said as negative or down on Mazio, because I'm certainly not. I think a lot of him as a player, like I just kind of highlighted a minute ago. But I do think there's certainly some, you know, question marks at that position overall. No doubt.
I got a little bit of an off-topic question here. Is it 24 or 25 when the NCAA or the SEC is considering using helmet communication? It's this year, right?
I believe so.
Do you know anything about that?
I haven't. Yeah, Dowell Loggins mentioned it the other day.
It's this year, right? 24?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Dowell mentioned it in his press conference that they're trying to work through all that.
All right. So I've got a follow-up to that would be, will they try to implement that into the spring game to get these guys used to it? Has anybody asked or heard?
That's a good question. I would imagine they would. Anytime you can simulate, you want to simulate. And heck, I mean, the other option would be to signal them in. And why would you do that? I mean, don't put your you'd be putting your signals on film. Or maybe you do and you want to throw everybody off. I don't know. Because the way this thing works is it's going to shut off and there's still going to be some time to audible. Mm-hmm. So you're still going to have some signals. I mean, if you're going to change plays late of the play clock, I think the idea is maybe, I mean, I don't know. But my understanding reading the rule is it shuts off with like 10 seconds to go on the play clock. Like you can't do it right.
Yeah, you can't. No. Because the NFL is like 15 seconds or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that. Okay.
And so, I think they have a longer play clock in the NFL. Oh, no, never mind. I'm not thinking about it.
Well, I'd just be interested to see like if they're going to try to simulate that or not in the spring game. On the defensive side of the football, Hale, the positive returns continue for the edge position. What have you picked up on those guys since last week?
Yeah, I've been trying to hammer home the take, I guess, that they're going to be a lot better at that position. And interesting news today that JT Gear is injured and dealing with something that kept him out of the scrimmage on Saturday. He said he didn't think it was a long term deal, but
you know, I think Hale's on that. Can
you hear me okay?
I think it's the microphone. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It sounds like you remember like,
the like old you're on days an answer
when you were on a cordless phone and you'd be picking up the other cordless phone from like down the road. That's kind of like what it sounds like a little bit. Yeah. Like somebody else's conversation is trying to force their way into ours with Hale.
Oh,
see if it's his
buzz. Now he's muted.
Now he's muted. Can you unmute him, Phil?
There it is. I'm
good. All right. Sorry.
You're good.
Sorry. Oh, you sound much better now. It's sometimes those Apple Pods interfere with our program for some reason. So it's all good.
Sorry. I said I don't know too many times for some folks, and now I'm having technical difficulties. So not my volume, clearly.
You got scammed by Kidney Gatner. Now you're good.
Yeah, no, I put the AirPods in because my neighbors got their lawn guys over there, so I didn't want to get too like that. But anyway,
oh, that's all. That wouldn't be any different from JC. Mike.
My dog barks constantly. So.
Yeah, he's got the Sanchez brothers in the summer.
It's part of our charm.
The JT Gear development is less than ideal from that edge position for that, whatever the case may be with his injury. And right now, they're a little more equipped to be able to handle something like that on the roster than they were last year. I mean, we find out he was injured. We know he was injured through pretty much the entire season last year, and they didn't really have a lot of options to turn to when they lost him, a guy they were certainly trying to count on. So I think they're a little more equipped to handle something like that right now.
Yeah, Shane didn't, as far as I saw, unless I missed something, he didn't seem to allude that JT Gear is having a major injury problem. They're just going to hold him out, right? I mean, I know he's banged up, but, like, it's nothing serious, right?
I mean, I don't know how serious it is. Again, sorry for saying I don't know, guys, but, you know, Beamer did say that he's going to go see a doctor again. And if I was in there, I would have, at the press conference, I would have followed up to see this injury was related to something he's had before, or if it's something totally new. So there's some unknowns there. And again,
I hope it's not related.
Yeah. I'm with you, JC. Hopefully if it's related to something from the past, that's probably a worse sign than the others. Hopefully it's something
very bad sign. And one kind of, frankly, I'm sick of hearing about when it comes to Carolina players. I'm not going to go any further than that, but
well, he did say none of these are significant and long-term at all.
Yeah. So that's good. Yeah. It's probably something different is my guess is, you know, just kind of depending, but, you know, all right. Beamer just tweeted something positive out, folks.
Uh-oh.
Is it a welcome home? Did we get a welcome home?
It certainly looks that way.
Uh-oh. God. Everybody, hold on to your pets. Oh no!
I need to go on rants like that more often. Right?
Oh, you know? Here we go! Everybody, calm down. The world's gonna start to shake now. Who is it?
Welcome home,
JC. Who is it? It's been out for 3 seconds. Hale, who is it?
I don't know.
I have a guess. I have a guess, but I don't know for sure if it is or not.
Oh, it's probably some two-star nobody out of Nowheresville. Y'all know how this works.
This guy better have 4 stars, or I'm going on that message board. I'm telling you, you don't want me to say what I'm going to say on that message. You don't want to hear it. You don't want me to do it.
That's right.
If it doesn't have at least 4 stars, Beamer sucks. Fire the staff, JC. You're terrible. The whole thing. Y'all have ruined everything.
Don't forget Ray.
I'll tell you what, if it is Anthony Addison, I've based on some other feedback I've gotten from him from another staff, he is probably a 4-star guy. I mean, he's elite, quick first step, probably needs to gain weight. So yeah, I'll probably keep him from getting the 4 stars, but I could see him being a 6'3", 245-pound, 50-pound dude off the edge. Can't you at some point? I mean, Addison from Stanford.
So I've said before, I thought he could play in like the 230s, maybe 240, but you know, I'm not going to sit here and quibble over 10 pounds. He's got a good frame and long arms. And like you said, got a quick first step, got some athletic upside. He's a good player. And if it is him, we don't know. I reported in the VIP room at 120-25 guy who has an offer and is scheduled for an official visit. Who I knew was going to be in today, but it certainly was not a full list of guys who were visiting today. So maybe it was somebody else. We got to figure stuff out. And
sweet. That sounds good.
Hopefully people can be okay with me saying this again. I don't know who it is yet. I'm trying to find out.
It's Cade.
That's just not good enough, Hale. When these things happen, you have to know immediately exactly who it is. And you have to be able to tell us exactly how they're going to help this team in 3 to 4 to 5 years. You've got to know these things.
And whether or not they're going to transfer at some point along the way, I think that's probably the equation. Mm-hmm.
You need to know their weight, what they should play at. You need to know everything, what their diet is. Yeah,
I understand the tweener comment Clint made about Addison, but because it's like Brian Thomas Jr. size. But that weight's also from his junior year. He's probably going to be bigger this year. Probably played about 220, 225 this year. Travion Robertson was 6'4", 225 when he came out of Scotland County as a recruit. Cliff Matthews was 6'5", 215. Devin Taylor was 6'6.5", 195. So weight, when they're a little light, I'd rather be lighter than heavier, to be honest, because you could – They tend to find a way to put that extra 40 pounds on. I mean, Umi Azulu was around 205, you know, and now he's doing whatever. But I do think Anthony's built a little different than Brian Thomas Jr. was. You look at Brian, he's kind of like a linebacker. And I'm talking about the Gamecocks, Brian Thomas Jr., not LSU's, obviously. But, heck, he's up to 245 now, so who knows. But I don't see this guy as being an Aaron Sterling type of guy. I think he's going to grow into a legit size DN. That's my guess. I don't know if Phil agrees or not.
No, I don't totally agree. I don't. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is a little heavier at this stage. I mean, Addison's like right around 210. He was at a combine in like February or March, and I think he was measured at like 208 and a half or something like that. So I've rounded him up to 210 on his 24/7 profile, but he's a legit 6'3". His wingspan's like 79 inches, which is helps make up for not being, you know, 6'5" or whatever. And for a guy like him with that physical profile, you don't want to sign a whole room full of defensive ends that look like that, but it's okay to have some. Like there's nothing wrong with that, especially again if they got that quick first step like JC was talking about.
Yeah, I didn't know he's that light. Now, Clint, I don't think he's stiff at all on film. I thought like you compare him to like Brad Johnson was a player when he came out of Pendleton. I thought was just a tad stiff, but he's a lot more, I guess, flexible, things like that. So
he got moved at a time. This one thing people need to remember when he got moved from Buck or defensive end to inside linebackers, they had a much different looking roster when it came to who they had at inside linebacker versus who they had at edge, defensive end, outside linebacker, Buck, whatever. Like they needed inside linebackers. Like they were pretty desperate for those guys. Were
sure
a bunch of quality defensive ends and Jordan Strong, Jordan Birch, Gilbert Edmond.
JJ was still there.
They were still there. So like he would have been one of the guys. Yeah, Aaron Sterling, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Cool. Hey, look, I'm all for any in-state defensive ends, defensive linemen that they like and want to get. I'm cool. We're cool with that. Sumter's kind of on a roll right now with
Roll again. Hey, some breaking news from college basketball. Maybe you can look into this for us. You know that guy with the glasses from Indiana State? What do they call that guy?
Kareem
Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, he's in the portal. You mind hitting up Lamont and see if we're going after him or what the deal is?
You're kidding, man. Yeah, he is in the portal.
Do you know if he's coming to South Carolina?
He can write his ticket.
Do you know what he ate for dinner last night, Hale?
Pork chops, green beans, and mashed potatoes.
Oh, that's a good meal.
Fried pork chops.
And if he's got pork chops in Indiana, they're probably pretty good. You know, middle America.
That's the standard meal for people in Indiana. And don't forget corn.
Cadence. On the Larry cob, nerd. The cob. Oh, poor guy.
I loathe Indiana.
Larry nerd. All right, Hale. Go break this news and ruin some kid's big commitment for us, okay? Ruin their moment so we all know who it is. Got to let the fans know first.
Yeah, they pay $10 a month for me to do that, for sure.
That's the name of the game. It's the name of the game. Hey, am I going to see you at the Big Spur golf tournament? Are you teeing it up?
That's the plan. Yep.
I'm bringing a secret assassin. I could probably just stay in the cart and let him hit the whole time. I'm probably not even going to swing the club. I'm just going to drink the whole time.
Is his last name DeMarco?
It rhymes with that.
Maparco. Donardo.
Marco.
I said, Pat, do you mind, just hitting every single golf ball? Because I really am not going to want to do that with you being on the team.
Oh, it's not Anthony Addison.
Oh, tell us.
Oh, all right. Well, that narrows it down.
Position of
need. Ooh.
I see. We need to put this on the website.
Save this for the message boards.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell everybody.
Hale, I hope we made your day better by being here to talk about literally absolutely nothing.
I'm cool with talking about absolutely nothing.
It's like Seinfeld when Hale comes
to. I mean,
it's
awesome. Yeah, it's 30 minutes. captivating nothing. I mean,
as long as it's entertaining, I could care less. It's always right. entertaining when Hail comes on, so I love it.
Hail, we will see you next week. We'll be here to ask more hard-hitting questions, like give us some good news.
All right. I'll try to figure out some more stuff between now and then.
Thanks, man.
See ya. How bad hurt is he?
Oh, Hail, had a rough day. Tell me something good.
Tell me something
good. Hail,
that's why we got you here, boys.
Poor guy's sound was all that. Sometimes those Apple Pods screw with StreamYard quite a bit. I've noticed.
Yeah, I don't use them. That's why I don't use them.
I don't put things in my ears, man. I need the cushion.
When I do my 107.5 interviews on Monday mornings, I always use Hardwire. I can't do the.
Dude, I'm on speakerphone, muting that bad boy during the commercials, doing work.
Yeah.
I'm like feeding the dog.
Well, that's because, we're on the air for about 15 minutes of 60 when you're on with Bill and them, you know. I get in the shower during commercial breaks. I mean, you know.
I can get a lot accomplished during those commercial breaks now.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. All of you go to thebigspur.com. There are 12 groups left to play in the golf tournament coming up on Monday, April the 22nd. Some killer prizes too, some silent auction stuff. I believe Nana's Porch is catering it. Chris Payne and his group, they'll be catering. And, there's going to be so much. It's going to be a blast. I can't wait to get out there. 9 o'clock tee time, shotgun start. You're not taking up your whole day. You'll be done by 2 o'clock and out of there and home. TheBigSpur.com. If you'd like to sponsor, maybe you've got a company and you'd like to sponsor, sponsorship opportunities are also there as well. You can always hit me up and I'll get you with John too. But, we'd love to have as many of you come play. So come play April 22nd, the Monday after the spring game. JC will be out there. He'll tell you all the secrets, including silent commitments and more, right before we tee off. And apparently I'm emceeing this thing as I was informed yesterday. So even better. With that said, we got to go because it's a minute past 2 o'clock. Glad to have Schubert back and Mad Dog's mustache. Mike Morgan will join us tomorrow. Thanks for jumping in. Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We'll see you tomorrow at 11.